All right, raise your Bible up. Let me see. I want to see a Bible in your hand. This is also a good, I preach wherever I need to preach. I'm kidding. No, what I want you to do is get used to bringing your Bible. I told the Lord, He just instructed me at this church only, we're not going to put scriptures up there on the screen. And here's why. And I'm not saying we wouldn't change if the Lord said to. The reason is because as I pastor lots of pastors and a lot of churches, what happens is people stop bringing their Bible because they know the scripture's going to be on the screen. But you don't want to do that. You've got to learn to carry that Bible everywhere you go in these days. If not, we've got cowboy Bibles that are paperback. Throw them on the dash of your truck, your car. But there's going to be an opportunity all the time now in the days that we're living in, the last of the last days, I believe, that we need to be able to go to the Word of God. There's a concordance in the back of most every Bible. Maybe not the cowboy Bible, so you might have to, you know, get the Bible app or something. And if you'll just type in the word that you're needing. Well, today, the word is discouragement. Because we're going to talk about that. Discouragement. How do you deal with discouragement? That word discouragement really comes from the root word courage. And then when you add dis to discourage, then really what it means is the opposite of courage. So when we're discouraged about something, what happens is we've lost motivation to press forward usually. I mean, when you're discouraged over something, and again, that's just what we're going to talk about this morning, because I see it all over. Just being in Las Vegas for about 5 or 6 days, you see a lot of discouragement. Usually it's when they're coming off the blackjack table. The casinos, they know how to win. They're winners. And they will bait you into winning a couple of hands. And you'll think in your mind that you're going to own the resort's world until the third hand. And there's discouragement of all kinds. Most of you know I added a one or two that I even know of that are in desperate trouble in their marriages. I know people that are struggling in their finances. I know people that have gotten bad reports from a doctor. You have a little bit of gray hair and one little pain somewhere in your body, the enemy knows what to do to your mind. Uh-oh. And you better have the Word of God on the inside of you in these days, because it's going to be really easy to get discouraged. And again, discouragement, even financially in the holiday season, is designed to cause you again to not press forward. In other words, the mountains, whatever they might be, seem too deep. The valleys that we tend to go through a lot of times they seem to be really, really dark. The battles that we're fighting, and it might be just an addiction of something. That battle is really fierce. And what discouragement is designed to do is for us to lose the courage to continue on. All through this life, you're going to have a battle to not go forward, but to back up to the days of what we call Babylon, or the days of simply unbelief. The days of before you gave your heart to Jesus. Because God wants you to press forward and continue to grow in your faith. The devil, on the other hand, wants you to back up because of discouragement and say things out of your mouth like, man, this stuff just doesn't work. Why, God, would you allow that to happen? And a lot of times you're tempted to say, God, why would you cause that to happen? And I just think that we need a little bit of correction. I think we need some encouragement. We need to know that God's for us. And if He be for us, who can be against us? I mean, there's something about being edified and built up in these last days and not beat up constantly by some preacher with the Word of God. But yet we still have to speak the truth of the Word of God so that we can be free. Because the enemy, through discouragement, wants you to be bound by major chains in life. The chains of depression, the chains of addiction, the chains of anger, and the list can go on and on and on and on. But I want you to turn in your Bible to Psalms chapter 34 real fast. Psalms chapter 34. Just go to the middle of your Bible and go one way or the other and you'll find it. Psalms 34. I believe when there's a temptation to be discouraged for whatever reason in these end times, family's not coming for the holiday, you don't have enough finances to buy proper gifts. I mean, there's all kinds of things that can try to get us discouraged, and we're going to get set free from that today. Psalms chapter 34, look at verse 17. It says, the righteous. Now, real fast, look at me, y'all. I know you want to keep reading and get ahead of me, but don't you dare. That word righteous is talking about you as a believer. When you give your heart to the Lord Jesus, the Bible says that old things are passed away, all things become new, according to the Word of God and through the Word of God. You live in a different kingdom as a believer in Jesus Christ, the kingdom of God versus the kingdom of darkness, the world, you see. So when you give your heart to Jesus, I did that 1979, May the 10th. I was 10 years old. You're right, because y'all are adding, 54 years old, almost. When I gave my heart to Jesus, I was made righteous. Okay? Now, there's been some times that I haven't acted righteous. I've done some things that are unrighteous. But even though I made some mistakes, didn't mean that I wasn't righteous anymore. Sin tries to do that. Discouragement tries to do that. It tries to make you feel like you're unworthy, you're unrighteous. And I want you to be encouraged today, not discouraged, but encouraged to know that when you gave your heart to Jesus, you were made righteous, which simply means doing things right. Then when you don't do something right, has nothing to do with your righteousness, kind of like a woman being pregnant. You're not just barely pregnant if you're pregnant. You're pregnant. If you try to act like you're not pregnant, you're still pregnant. That kind of makes my mind go into something that I'll just say just because. I don't care if you were born a man and then tries to say you're not a man, you're still a man. Okay, hang on. I better. But someone's got to be bold enough to speak the truth. And I remember, you know, well, y'all know, eating with the governor of Texas, and that's just what I said. I said, you know what, we've got to start speaking the truth and not being afraid. And he was right there. He was in his wheelchair, and I was right to his right side. And I just said, sir, because he asked me. He said, what do you think, Pastor Corey? He didn't really know me. They just invited me to come in different pastors. And I said, sir, I just believe that we need to start speaking the truth and not being afraid of losing a 501c3 nonprofit status. Now, he was like, these other ministers are like, you crazy, boy, don't say that. We don't want to offend no one. Well, they knew my heart. Matter of fact, all of his help that was in the room, you know, just standing around, they came, they didn't go to any other minister. They came to me and said, hey, good job. They wanted me to. I mean, that's what they want to hear, you see. But political, I tell you. Psalms 1 and 34. So understand that you're righteous if you're born again. So here it says, the righteous cry, and the Lord hears. Come on, clap your hands to that. Let me say it again, and then maybe you'll be motivated to clap a little bit better. The righteous cry, and the Lord hears it. Okay? I don't know about you, but that's a very, very important saying in Scripture. And he goes on to say, not only does he hear when you cry out, when you're discouraged, he delivers them out of their trouble. The Lord is nigh unto them that are of the broken heart, and save such as be of a contrite spirit. Listen to me. Flip again, real, and let's just get built up a little bit more. Go forward to 147 of Psalms. 147, and say amen when you get there. Psalms 147. Say it loud. Are y'all there? Just get right over there, because y'all have to see this. Psalms 147 and verse 3. It says, he healeth the broken in heart and binds up their wounds. I don't know about you, but we have a God that is for us and not against us. We have a God that wants us to be the head and not the tail. We have a God that doesn't want us to back away from our belief system. He doesn't want our country to back away from the godly principles that he established when this country was founded. He wants people bold enough to understand that the righteous people cry out and our God will hear us. So when there's a spirit of discouragement, why don't you cry out to God and say, God, I need some help. I've always told people, you don't have to use these thousand thuses to talk to God. My uncle did it every time we got around the Christmas table or holiday tables. He would pray. His name was Bob, Uncle Bob. And for some reason, Bob, being a deacon in our Baptist church, felt like he had to change the way he talks when he talked to God. He had maybe a high-pitched voice, but all of a sudden, miraculously, his voice deepened. And he used the King James, most heavenly goddeth up on higheth, blesseth thou us foodeth todayeth. And I'm like, what? I would say, Mom, what's that mean? No. When you talk to God, talk how you normally talk. Just leave out the cuss words. Okay. Listen to me. He heals our broken heart and he binds the wounds that we might have. Yeah, maybe there are people here that have some type of wound. Maybe it's from a person. Maybe it's from a church. Maybe it's from a preacher. If it's from me, please forgive me. My heart is not to hurt anyone. But sometimes I preach so bold that people take offense. Don't do that. No, just receive the Word of God. The Word of God is not trying to beat you up personally. It's trying to deal with the spirit. Remember, we don't wrestle against flesh and blood. We wrestle against the spirits of darkness, the principalities in high places. So when there's something negative that you might receive from someone, or you feel like they're getting into your business at a church, no. They're just trying to take care of a spirit that is behind something like offense. And offense and discouragement and all of those spirits will try to get on people just to back them off. But listen. When we are discouraged, you can go, back to Deuteronomy chapter 31. Just back just a little bit and listen to this. Deuteronomy, right? After Numbers maybe. Yeah, Deuteronomy chapter 31, and check out what the Word of God says in Deuteronomy 31 and 6. Anytime we're discouraged, guess what God does? He says these kind of things. Y'all there? Deuteronomy chapter 31, verse 6. Be strong. Be strong. Son, daughter, be strong. And of good courage. Did you notice he didn't say, hey, be strong and be discouraged? Be discouraged. It's good for you because it'll help you look up to the Lord. Man, I heard trash like that growing up. You know, most of y'all remember I was a lawn and landscape man, about 22, 23 years old, just kind of left in between college even. My brother Steve was the irrigator. I was in charge of the landscape business, and we did a lot of business, over $100,000. We did Burger King's. We tended their maintenance needs on their grass, etc. Well, I had a lot of equipment. I had like three tractors, 48-inch belly mowers, front-end mowers, weed eaters, blowers, trailers, and trucks. And one day I told one of our employees that I needed to leave town for 2 days, one day. And I can't remember who sent me the notice that the guy didn't show up to do their property. So I tried to call him and call him and call him and never could get a hold of him. And he had taken the truck, he had pawned the trailer and all of the equipment for $300, stole the truck from San Angelo, and we found it in Big Spring at the truck stop. And the guy that mom and dad was owned the big covered arena in San Angelo and was very busy, and we had friends that were policemen. And one of the policemen said, hey, I found your trailer and all your equipment. The guy pawned it for $300. And that pawn shop was so angry that he lost $300 when he thought, all right, I've got thousands of dollars worth of stuff, and I was able to retrieve it. And a man came up to me and heard about it, and this is what he said. He said, you know, Corey, you know, God was probably just trying to teach you a lesson. For you to get all of that stuff stolen, God was probably needing you to learn a little bit of a lesson. And I looked at him and I said, number one, your mama. I don't know why I said that, but anyway, number two, if God was trying to teach me a lesson, then he was responsible for what happened. And I couldn't find that in the Word of God. I looked and looked and looked and looked. God was the source of something bad. And I finally found out, wait a minute. He had good intentions, but he was biblically incorrect. It was not edifying me to try to tell me that, you know, God was just trying to teach you a lesson. No. He's not going to teach you a lesson by putting sickness and disease on you. He's not going to stick some type of bad thing through you or cause you to go through it to teach you something. You know what he did instead? He sent his Savior, his Son, Jesus, who became the Word and dwelt among us. He gave us the Word of God so that I don't... Oh, my Lord, there's that. It was underneath. I just had to pick up the Word of God. Wheat said it all. That's where that thing went. Where was I at? Howdy? Fine. The point was, is that I just simply told him, wait, the enemy comes to steal. That's what's done to me. Kill and destroy. God says through Jesus, John 10:10, keep reading, that I have come that you might have life and more abundant life. Praise God. The enemy wants you to be discouraged. God constantly is saying, be strong. You see that here? Deuteronomy chapter 31, verse 6. Be strong. Say it with me. Be strong and of a good courage. Fear not, nor be afraid of them, for the Lord thy God, it is he that doth go with thee. Why? Because he will never fail thee nor forsake thee. Let me read that in the Amplified so we'll understand it a little better. Be strong, courageous, and firm. Fear not, nor be in terror before them, for it is the Lord. Now, is Jesus your Lord? It is the Lord, your God, who goes with you. He will not fail. He'll not fail you or forsake you. Man, that's good news to me. It's encouraging. That's uplifting. That gives me some hope. Amen. Now, flip just barely one book, just a few pages. In my Bible, it is 4 pages to Joshua 1. Look at this. Come on. It's 11:43 on the back clock. Y'all see it back there? Everybody turn around. Look at it. It's huge. Look with me. Where should I start, Lord? Okay. Start at verse 5. Joshua 1 and verse 5. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all in the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. Now, just to help you, this right here is when God selected Joshua here to replace Moses as the leader of the Israelites. Okay? God knew that both of them, primarily Joshua, would be going through a lot of battles. So what did he minister to Joshua? The very next verse. What does it say? Verse 6. Be strong. Say it with me. Be strong and of a good courage. Did you notice it didn't say discourage? No, God always is saying be strong. Be strong. Be strong. I'm sure the Bonnets told Morris and Blake, I'm sure all the family that I did the service for at the funeral home yesterday, Morris's daughter went to heaven, I believe, last Monday, 58 years old. Battled cancer 3 times, whooped it for 14 years. Don't you think for 1 minute that God wasn't telling her, and then she would tell everybody, stay strong. Stay strong. You stay strong. You out there in that rodeo, all those contestants, they would call me, and all I would say is, hey, no, you hang in there. Tim O'Connell has won the world in the bareback riding 3 years. And at the church service, he and his wife came and said, man, just pray for Tim. And he had already gone through, Friday and Saturday, because for the first time in the history of the rodeo, because of that shooting at Thomas and Mack, at the school, they canceled the first night of the National Finals Rodeo, the Thursday night perf. Most of y'all know that. They ended up making it up on Wednesday morning. And so all those guys had to ride two horses and run barrels and do everything at 10 in the morning and then that night, because Thursday night was canceled because out of respect to the three, I believe, professors maybe that were killed by a disgruntled professor or whatever he was. So he had already gone Friday night, Saturday night before he came to church on Sunday morning at the national finals. And his wife comes to me at the end of the service and said, hey, would you just pray with us? Because my buddy gets a little intense. He wants to win all 10 rounds. That's a competitor, man. Well, in his heart and in mine as well, maybe the judges didn't score him very high on what we felt like were really good rides and tough horses. Okay, well, do you back up? Do you start living like the world? Do you get crazy and wild trying to get all that stress off of you? Or do you press forward? Because listen, this is where God wants you to press forward when you're right in the midst of discouragement. So Joshua 1:9 again is saying, look, be strong and of good courage. Be strong, y'all. And again, I wrote this down, when God selected Joshua to replace Moses, some of his first words was this. But you always got to remember verse 5, that God will never leave you and never forsake you. Ever. God knew that Joshua was going to go through some big battles. All right? So real fast, let me give you a couple of keys and then we'll close. Keys to overcoming discouragement. Number one, remember God's promises. You get into this Word of God because God's promises are yes and amen. So be it if you would just believe the promises of God. Be strong. That's a promise. Be courageous. I will never leave you or forsake you. If you cry out to me, I'm going to hear you and I'm going to heal your wounds. Number two, don't you dare give up. Don't give up. In Philippians chapter 3, verse 13 through 16, read it sometimes, because that's where the Apostle Paul, going through a lot of discouragement, that's where he said, I press forward to the mark or the goal of the high calling of Christ Jesus. We've got to press through discouragement. We've got to press through persecution. We've got to press through rejection. We've got to press through the beatings. Remember, he took a beating twice. The Lord Jesus took beatings. We've got to press through discouragement. And then the last thing, the third thing that is a key, and then I'll close, is we've got to examine our hearts real fast. And you don't have to necessarily turn there, but let me read Psalms, and if you have a pen and piece of paper, just write it down. Psalms chapter 139, and I want to read to you 23 and 24. Psalms 139, 23 and 24. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. And see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. You see, sometimes we need to examine our hearts, because if we don't examine our hearts, often pride, greed, covetousness, they can all feed in to discouragement. So there's times when we need to just examine our hearts. Father, if I have any kind of discouragement, number one, I give it to you. Because listen, believe it or not, preachers go through a whole lot of stuff. Things that you never see or hear. And if I'm not strong and courageous, I'll quit. But I'm not quitting. If I quit, you know what God would do? He'll find someone to fill my spot. So I might as well do what God's called me to do, regardless of the discouragement. But if you'll do these keys, don't give up. Mama, don't you dare. I'm talking about all mamas, because when I said mama, my mama looked up, what? What'd I do? Mamas, don't give up. Your kids need you. Matter of fact, don't give up because your husband needs you. Ladies, my wife is at home. She just hadn't been feeling good, and we prayed over her, and she really felt good today. I said, no, you know, why don't you rest one more day? And I know you want to be here at the church with all these great people, but just let's rest one more day. I need her, y'all. Amen. I need her. But she did do me wrong yesterday. She's probably watching. You know, she, and I don't know why that I can't figure out colors, shirts and suit coats and matching and things like that. Why? I mean, who cares? So, as normal, John, I took a brown suit coat and the shirt I was going to wear before I left for the going home celebration yesterday. And I said, hey, does this match? And she said, yeah. And then when I got home, Ricky, she said, I must have been feeling bad because that don't match. I said, girl, you let me go in front of all those people not matching? She said, you should know that gray doesn't go with brown. I said, well, it looks good to me. So then in my mind, I'm thinking, all of those people were probably only seeing a gray shirt with a brown suit coat. And those women were going, I don't know what's wrong with that boy. He don't even know how to match. No, I need her, because then she picked out my black shirt with my brown suit coat. Don't I look good? Don't I or not? Do I? I'm just going on you then, ma'am. Listen, we've got to not live by discouragement, and let's live by being strong and of good courage. Would y'all agree? Amen. All right, come on. Oh, Lord, I love you. Thank you, Lord, for just a wonderful, wonderful, encouraging message where we don't have to be discouraged. No, 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 no. You said be strong and of good courage. Stay the course. Press forward. Don't give up. So, Father, we receive this message by faith in Jesus' name. Every head bowed, every eye closed, please. Again, as I said at that funeral celebration, whatever we want to call it, yesterday, I would never leave any kind of service without giving someone an opportunity to receive the only true hope. There's no other hope found but in the name of that's above all names, Jesus. And I know Monday, we're going to celebrate the birth. And then a month or two later, we're going to celebrate His resurrection. The question is do you know Him? If you died and left this earth And I can promise you, that precious woman named Tamara, that we celebrated her life yesterday, was not expecting to go to heaven at the age of 58. Personally, I think that's too soon. But the good news that we got to share with all of those folks is that to be absent from a body is to be present with the Lord. She's in heaven, thank God. Not hurting, no sickness, no disease, no cancer. Pure joy. There's going to be a day when we all are going to stand before God. You're going to have to die of the flesh. Unless Jesus comes back to get you. Ooh, I'd like that. Then we'll just meet Jesus in the air. But you still got to think about what would happen to you if you left this earth and you were standing before God. Because the Bible says all of us individually, not with our family, not with friends, individually will stand before God one day. The Bible calls it the Great Judgment Day. And you've got to know what the Lord will say to you. If you made Jesus your Lord here on this earth, and you stand before God, you left the earth, you died, Jesus is your Lord. You confessed Him with your mouth, Romans 10:9. When you stand before the Lord, He'll say, "Well done, good and faithful servant. Enter. Come on. Enter into the rest," R-E-S-T, the joy of the Lord. Heaven, Jesus is going to be beside the Father with this book. It's called the Book of Life. Your name is going to be recorded in that book if you gave your life to Him, Jesus, when you lived on this earth. So the question this morning is, have you done that? Is Jesus your Lord? Is He your Savior? If He is, praise God. You got to have confidence in your salvation. But if He's not, and you just don't know what would happen to you, right now, I want you to give your heart to Jesus by praying this prayer. There's no time to wait for another day. No, it's time to give your heart to Jesus. Because number one, you can cast all the cares on Him. But number two, when you leave this earth, you'll get to reside in heaven forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. But don't forget, there's a place called hell, y'all. Preachers don't talk about it much. But it was not made for you. It was made for Satan and his demons that got kicked out of heaven. But if you reject Christ, if you reject the Son, and you die without Jesus being your Lord, then God has to say this, "Depart from me." I don't want Him to do that to anyone. I don't care how bad they hate me or don't like me or done wrong to me. I want everybody to go to heaven. That's just my heart. I'm talking to you that are live in this audience or that are watching. Is Jesus your Lord? If He's not, pray this prayer with me. You're not going to pray it by yourself. The way we do it at this church is I'm going to ask the believers, the ones that are born again, and you know it. I want you to pray this prayer with someone beside you or behind you or in front of you. And we'll pray it with anyone here that has never given their heart to Jesus. So again, if you're here this morning, you don't know what would happen to you. If you died, you don't know if you'd go to heaven or hell, then receive Jesus and choose heaven by praying this prayer. Ready? Out of your mouth. Believers, pray it as well. Say out of your mouth, "Father in heaven, I open the door of my heart. I confess with my mouth that Jesus Christ is my Lord. Jesus, come into my heart and save me. I make you my Lord. I believe that you have been raised from the dead, and I'm saved. All my sins are forgiven because Jesus is my Lord. I pray this prayer to you, the Father, in the name of Jesus. With no one looking around, just real fast. If you just prayed that prayer for the very first time and you gave your heart to Jesus, I want you to be bold. I'm not going to ask you to come to the front. I'm going to ask you right where you're sitting or standing. When I count to three, one, two, three, I want you to be bold enough to say, I just prayed that prayer and I gave my heart to Jesus this morning and I meant it. And then just put your hand right back down. That's all you're doing. When you raise your hand, you're saying, God, I'm confessing Jesus before men. You know what Jesus says? If you'll do that, He'll confess you before the Father. In other words, don't be ashamed that you just prayed and gave your heart to Jesus. I don't care how many times you've been to church. If you just prayed that prayer for the first time and gave your heart to Jesus, get that hand up when I say three and then put it right back down. Ready? One, two, three, go. One, two, three, four, five. Come on, just raise it up. Six, seven, eight, good. We're just gonna, no one looking around, please, eight of you. I wanna give you, if you raise your hand, I wanna just give you a Bible, the ushers. I appreciate you, and you can put your hand down when you get the Bible. Oh, Jesus. Anybody else? If you didn't get a Bible, just slip your hand up real fast and let me see it, and then just put it back down. Make sure we give you a Bible. We want you to start with something. Amen? Glory be to God. All right, look at me. Ooh. Oh, my God. God, y'all, I'm telling you, there's something going on at this church. And I asked the Lord several times, well, Father, why don't this place, we'll knock this wall out. Why don't thousands of people come? He said, because I've designed it the way I've designed it. And the ones that stick will stick because we need you. But the ones that are giving their hearts to Jesus that I bring here to go out and get to their church is just what I got to do. Listen to me. Here's why I think. A guy came one time and said, I've been to 20 churches in the Austin area and not one gave a salvation plan. I led a guy to Jesus at 70 years old that his wife was the organ player at the Methodist church for 30 years. He said, I never knew how to give my heart to Jesus. So if they don't just stay and come and they go to another, that's fine with me as long as we do our job. Amen. Mm.